Good afternoon. You're listening to the Smoke and Mirror Show. I'm Rob Boyd, your host, and today is February the 4th, 2017. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Skidmore. Steve, how are you
good
doing
afternoon.
This afternoon?
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm ugly as hell. I hurt. I probably smell bad, but I'm still on this side of the dirt. I don't know if that's bragging. I don't know if that's getting me any bragging rights or anything, but yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, well,
for what that's worth.
That's always a good thing when you wake up on this side of the dirt.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been busy, 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 busy.
Yeah, I know you've been working on doing a lot of side work.
Yeah, trying to pay bills, man. Chasing that almighty dollar.
Yay.
God. Man, we've got to get off this funny money system, you know?
Yep.
We were warned about this a long time ago. And,
many
oh,
times.
By the way, folks, Rob and I kind of like to have a topic, and we've been bouncing back and forth all week long, and we've decided not to have a topic today. We're just going to wing it. But, yeah, that's... I don't know. You and I kind of tossed around the topic of the war on drugs, and that's an endless rabbit hole. There's so many political issues that spin off of this thing. Oh, man. It's unreal. Private prisons. I mean, you got the CEO of one of the private prison systems saying that, yeah, more lax laws on marijuana would certainly cut into our bottom line. He doesn't care that he's taking somebody away from a family for smoking a joint and throwing them into his dungeons. What he cares about is the loss of revenue from state grants or state, not grants, bonds that he's going to cash out on to house somebody. He's going to get paid, I don't know, $3-4 a day when it costs him 23 cents. He's going to pocket the rest and share some of that with the prison guards. And other than that, it's just profit hand over fist. And if that's not enough, they can offer you a job in telephone solicitations or whatever. You know, you're working for 23 cents an hour. Now, if you're in the private sector and you want that job, can you compete with 23 cents an hour?
Hell no. Yeah,
I don't know anybody that can.
Nope. And it's just crazy.
So yeah, I think that when we start discussing the war on drugs, it's not so much a war on drugs as it is the underlying private prison system profiting from this alleged war on drugs. And by the way, folks, it's not a war on drugs. You cannot wage war on an inanimate object. It's politically, legally, physically, emotionally, morally impossible. What it is a war on people that use drugs.
Yes.
Period. That's
all
it.
Wars are against
people. And it's not for public safety. It's for the generation of revenue. Look at the lobbyists that are paid to go into our legislatures and lobby for stronger, stiffer, less lenient penalties and laws when it comes to anything. Hell, it's getting to where these days you run a red light, you run a chance of getting shot, tased, beaten, crippled, maimed.
Yeah. It's like being behind enemy lines.
Yes, and who's behind it? Those who have to have a chance to profiting from it. There's your private prison systems again. These guys keep on popping up like a bad penny.
Yeah.
We the people, we watch the news and we see, oh, gee, there's a guy getting beat up by the cops. Well, why? Why? Well, he's working eventually somewhere down the line to put that guy's butt in the prison so that prison can generate revenue from bonds That which, by the way, the taxpayers are footing the bill for.
Right. Yeah, it's always draining the people.
It's unbelievable. You talk about your smoke and mirrors. There's, I think, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what you mean by smoke and mirrors, right?
Yeah.
When we, with smoke and mirrors, we see a problem. Oh, my goodness, there's you know, juniors hooked on drugs. The reaction is government, do your job. And the solution is, well, we need more of your money so that we can build more prisons and put them in the hands of private prison systems. So, okay, we build this enormous prison system, and now we've got to have butts to put in the chairs and the cots and just keep sending your tax dollars our way. You know, we've got guys on the end of this that have,
prison industrial complex, Miss Girl says.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can chime in here anytime.
Yeah,
I'm just on a rant.
No, you go ahead. I'm kind of keeping an eye on the chat room, seeing what people are saying. Grimm says, Quasimodo, a war on a concept, not even an object. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it all stems from the fiat money system.
Absolutely.
It all comes down from there, because the people that control the money control basically everything.
Well, I can't source this, but I've heard in other conversations that quite a few decades ago, a man who changed his name from Meyer Amschel Bauer to Meyer Amschel Rothschild was conversing with someone in the British or from the British ends of court. The question on the table was, who is eventually going to control the world? And it was the standpoint of the British ends of court that since it is the courts who make the laws that govern the lives of man, that it naturally fall, that global domination and control would naturally fall into the hands of the court systems. To which Rothschild replied, and I think some of us might be familiar with the quote, he said, "Give me the control over the issue of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws."
For me.
There you have the power. It doesn't matter what laws are made or who made them. If you control the money, you control who makes the laws.
Yep.
If you control the money, you control who gets health care. You control who gets fed. You control who sleeps under a roof. You control who has clothes on their back. You control who lives, who dies. You control everything. Something else Bauer said, or Rothschild, take your pick, same fella. He said, "I want to own nothing and control everything."
Right.
How would you do that? How would you do that, Rob?
Put
everything in a trust?
Put everything in trusts and foundations is the way they do it. And
there you go.
I know that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Family trust. So then, and
so then when in Rome, do as the Romans do?
Right.
So then let's go down this rabbit hole. Shouldn't everything we think is ours be in a trust? We would own it. Or actually, we wouldn't own it, but we'd control it. If you control something.
Who cares who owns it as long as you have control over it, just like Rothschild said.
There you go. There you go.
Which, as you know, I'm going down that road.
Yeah. Well, didn't we start this show off by saying we need to get off this funny money system?
Yep.
Qui bono, baby? Who benefits?
Exactly.
It ain't you and me. We are not the beneficiaries of this national trust. we would like to think we are, but we're not. We're not the beneficiaries.
Yeah, they want us to believe that we are the people. are the government, like they like to say. The people are the government, of the people, by the people, for the people. And it's just so much smoke up your ass.
I would say that would have held true until the Articles of Incorporation. Now, since the adoption of the Articles of Incorporation, we no longer have the corpus de jure, the de jure body politic. We now have a corporate body instead of a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have a corporation of the corporation, by the corporation, for the corporation. We're not even shareholders in this corporation. We're collateral.
And if you need
not
even
that, shareholders.
Just go out to your city limit signs and look on there. It tells you incorporated. If you ever notice that.
No, I've never noticed that.
Yep.
Where does it say Inc.?
On the city limit signs. I know it because when it used. Remember before Wimberley incorporated? A little town outside of Austin here called Wimberley that was unincorporated for a long time, and on their signs it said unincorporated township.
Right.
So, and there's still towns out there that aren't incorporated townships. There's still a handful out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are some townships that are unincorporated. Operating as well. There was a few years ago, there was a little township down just kind of southwest of San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, we talked about that just the other day.
Unincorporated. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting concept.
And they don't have property taxes.
I'm an anarchist at heart. Let me define anarchist. I'm not an advocate of chaos. Anarchy is not chaos. Anarchy is simply the absence of a governing body. And I think mankind has reached a point where we can actually deal with each other better and in a more civilized manner if we don't have government intervention. With the absence of this government intervention, I say that because government has gotten so big, and I say government tongue in cheek because we don't have government. We have this corporate body. Okay. The whole system needs to be scrapped.
Yeah.
And start from scratch.
Bon Orme is the name of that town.
We've been, you know, anybody that's had a car knows that you can patch and plug a tire so many times before you got to replace the tire. It's time for a new set of tires, guys. You know?
Yeah, right.
We patched and plugged these tires so many times. This country is rolling down the highway at 1,000 miles an hour on a set of Maypops. You know?
Yeah.
It's time to change the tires. But what kind of tires are we going to put on this wagon?
So, that's a good question.
Let's go back to organic.
I say we do away with tires and let's move on to hovercraft and anti-gravity travel.
Yeah.
let's do away with this obsolete old bullshit.
I think if we had a new government, one of the first goals of this new government would be to fervently promote alternative energies.
Yes.
If we can burn water, which if any of you listeners out there are not aware, and I really don't want to insult anybody's intelligence, but if you're not aware, yes, we can burn water. It's called HHO conversion. You take H2O, run it through an electrolysis process, very simple thing. You can do it in a mason jar under the hood of your car, and it produces HHO. It converts the H2O to HHO. What you're doing is actually separating the hydrogen from the oxygen molecules, and you no longer have this wet thing that you call water. You've now got what makes water and its two separate components. What you've got is a combustible gas and an oxidizer, the two gases that you need for combustion.
Exactly.
Okay? Introduce them as separate components, add spark and compression, pop. You can drive the internal combustion engine on water. And what does it spit out the tailpipe, Rob?
Water.
Water.
Or water vapor.
Water.
And this isn't new technology either. It's been around for 100 years. It's, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's suppressed
oil,
technology.
Oil as a fuel should have been obsolete 50 years ago, at least.
Or longer.
Yeah.
I believe the first diesel engine ran on hemp oil.
Yep. I've heard that. We have a couple of diesel
engines. A renewable source. Another renewable source.
Right.
But yeah, no, we're latched on to this quasi-political so-called fossil fuel tit.
Yep, which just feeds the same beast.
Yeah. So, okay, a new kind of government. Rob, if we introduced a new type of government, let's say the government that we've got now completely crumbled, failed, and it was up to we the people to follow the ideologies in our law, that being the Declaration of Independence, to basically trash what you've got and provide safeguards for your progeny. What kind of new government would you put in place, if any?
That's hard. Well, I would be an advocate of no, whatever government it may be, I would insist that it be not based on force or a monopoly on the use of force.
Exactly.
Basically,
yeah.
All government
I'm not saying disarm it, but certainly draw in the reins.
Well, the whole purpose of government is self-preservation. That's the reason we have it. All these extra deals, like everybody says, when you talk about anarchy, the first response people are going to give you is, well, who's going to build the roads? And we've had this argument or discussion I don't know how many times, but the government doesn't build the roads, people. Private companies build the roads. Governments take money from everybody, and they pay themselves a little bit for administrative costs, and then a little bit for their little golf weekend, and a little bit for their swimming pool, and then about a third of it might get spent on the roads. So it's about the most inefficient way to conduct business ever devised.
Agreed. Agreed. So then we can agree then there is some necessity for some type of body that acts in a representative capacity for the voice of the majority of the people.
Okay.
Are we? Is that basically what we can agree on? I mean, let me rephrase that because
anytime you get people involved, representation goes out the window anyway, because they're always going to. Everybody is
correct. Correct. But let's say we the people of America and another point I wanted to retouch is since the Articles of Incorporation, we no longer have we the people unless you stand up and say that I'm a member of the we the people, and there's a legal method of doing that's correcting your citizenship status. You're now a member of the public, and the public is a belligerent blah blah blah. We went over that in some of the stuff with Pat Baker and the land patent issues.
Right.
But when we the people can exist again and choose what type of body politic that we would have represent us. Okay, let me define what I mean by represent us, that would be the majority of we the people. When dealing with other countries on a national scale, we the people can't come forward one at a time and tell, let's say, President Putin, hey, you know, we'd like to get together and collaborate on this. What kind of chaos would that create? You've got to have some type of government that can come forward and speak to Putin's representative or Russia's whatever representative and say, hey, the American people would like to work with your people and collaborate on this idea here. That's what I mean by a body that stands in a representative capacity of we the people. Right. We've got to have, you know, we can't all come forward one at a time and come to the bargaining table. We've got to have some type of representative body.
Right. And with the technology we have today, we can do that without having all these so-called representatives to make decisions.
Let's explore that.
We need
Let's
to take the decision-making out of it, because we've got the ability to for the people to speak. If we were given the chance, and I mean, it's not that hard. We can, they can have these TV shows where people vote on talent or whatever those shows, the reality shows, the Voice or American Idol, and everybody votes, and they can
right.
do that way, and millions of people vote, and you know. Of course, I'm sure that's all bullshit, but anyway, that's.
Well, I'm looking up here in the chat room too, and there's a good issue raised. You know, who's going to build roads? We've got to, you know, even getting out of the international community and coming back to a local community. We still got to have some type of body that says, okay, let's decide to spend our collective money on this road. You know,
right.
I need a road to connect this to that. And Joe has agreed to let us run a road through his property. You know, if we give him fair market value for the land, we can buy the land from him and he'll let us run the road. So you've got to have somebody to gather these ideas and say, hey folks, you know, what do you think of doing this, building a road through Joe's place? We got it all worked out. It's going to cost X amount. You want to pitch in on this? You've got to have somebody there to say, okay, here's a bucket you can put your donations in, and we can build this road.
And that can all be done in a cooperative fashion, or the co-op. Local communities can all pitch in and join the co-op. You can put it on a website. You can do crowdfunding. You can do. There's all kinds of ways of setting that up. If you want a better road, vote for it with your dollars.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll get done. You know, people want roads. Those are things that people mm-hmm. want. That's why that argument is so powerful, because people actually want roads. What we don't want is our so-called representatives running around the world murdering people by the thousands.
Thank you. Thank you.
Know, stealing their resources, you know, assassinating
yeah.
their heads of state and doing regime change all across the world.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me a bit to look into the investment portfolios of the majority of our politicians and find out that they're very heavily invested in Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, McDonnell Douglas, you know, the war machine.
Oh, yeah. The military-industrial complex, which we were warned about that as well many, many times in the past.
Yeah. You know, they stand to profit. if they're invested in this war machine, this machine that produces weapons to kill people, then, well, we've got to use these weapons and kill people to see a return on our investment.
Right.
So, and that's when we hear that war has become such an integral part of the American economy, it's become necessary to have perpetual yeah. war in order to prop up this fiat economy
system?
That
oh economy yeah
yeah this fiat economy that we've got yeah. then you know that should be our biggest red flare that okay if we've got to keep if we've got to throw the flesh and blood of our offspring into this machine to keep it working, we need a new machine, or we just don't need a machine at all. If it's going to, you know, if we got to feed it flesh and blood, we don't need that kind of machine.
We're better off without a machine rather than one that chews up.
Absolutely.
Sons and daughters.
Well, you know, and it's if you ask me, war is nothing more than eugenics.
Yes, and that's another whole other rabbit hole we can go down.
Oh, sure.
Which I believe is a real thing. The Georgia Guidestones lays it all out. They want to reduce the population to 500 million people.
90%. Yeah, I did the math on that one day. 90%.
Yeah, 93 actually. But.
And it's not just in the Georgia Guidestones. We can find the same we're used to when PNAC during the last Bush administration, the neocons set up a website called PNAC, a Project for a New American Century. We found the population reduction language in their section Rebuilding America's Defenses. We also find the same language in the United Nations Agenda for the 21st Century, or UN Agenda 21, in sustainable development.
Yep.
So, yeah, there is an agenda. There is a goal to depopulate the Earth by 90%. Now, let's look back. Let's look back through history. What is the common battle cry for the eugenicists? Well, we're running out of room. There's not enough land for the people. Well, wait a minute. I've done the math on this too. I did something interesting a few years ago. I went to the internet and, you know, there on the internet, there's something called a global population clock. That last number is running so fast it's just a blur. So you can pick I picked 9. But I allowed each and every living human being, according to this population clock, 4 square feet in which to stand. 4 square feet. That's 4 average
that's
1 foot
square.
Huh? Yeah.
That's 2 by 2
correct.
Square.
That's 2 by 2 square. That would, in my mind, that would allow an average of 4 square feet for every man, woman, and child, whether he be an infant or an obese adult. Okay? Let's give every human being 4 square feet. If you allowed 4 square feet to every living man, woman, and child on the face of the planet, Rob, how much square footage do you think that would cover?
About the size of Rhode Island. I read that somewhere.
You could put every, if given 4 square feet to stand for just the blink of an eye, shoulder to shoulder, belly to back, okay? You could put every man, woman, and child in Travis County, Texas, and still have about a third of the county left over. So don't tell me there's not enough land. Don't tell me we don't have enough land to grow enough food to feed these people. Hell, we can do that at a chili cook-off.
Right.
So don't tell me there's not enough land. That's
especially
horse
when you have,
feathers.
Especially when you have the government paying farmers not to grow crops.
Thank
you. Know, exactly.
Thank
and,
you.
And then
we have
the amount of food thrown
here
away.
Here on this little ball going around the sun, we have enough for everybody, every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet to live in abundance.
Yes, we should have abundance. All those things. Okay. Manufactured scarcity.
Well, there you go. I was just going to say, now we need an alternative explanation for famine, for starvation, for hunger, for war, for homelessness.
Yeah.
There is none. The only thing it can come back to is these oligarchs, the movers and shakers, those who behind the scenes really make things happen here on this little planet.
Those who wish to rule the world.
Those who really do rule the world.
Yeah, and they're working on it.
And it's not you and me. We don't even rule our own little worlds. Our own little worlds, we like to think that we have autonomy over our lives, but we don't. We're all stuck on that perpetual rat's wheel chasing that almighty green paper.
We have the illusion of choice.
It always comes back to that. So then, okay, let's get back to a new form of government. If we had to establish a new form of government, we would have to unseat the powers currently in control, which means that we would have to completely do away with the funny money system, which means that we would have to barter with one another, at least for a while, until we got back on some type of standard that would be globally recognized. And I'm speaking directly to gold and silver. We can go back on a warehouse receipt. How about Bitcoin? I don't know. Not everybody's got a computer. And if some kind of catastrophe happened and the electrical grid shut down, what happens to your Bitcoin investment? Do you have anything tradable? There's so many things that we can do. But it would put us, let's say government went belly up tomorrow and we were thrown into this anarchal state, we would have to barter with one another. But how would we barter as people? How would we barter with, let's say, the power company? What, are we going to take a flock of sheep up to the power company and say, here, can you keep our lights on?
Yeah. That would obviously be chaos.
I don't see that happening. Yeah, I don't see that happening. You know, I'll trade you a dozen chickens for another week's electricity. You know, novel concept, but you know, in the long run, it really doesn't work. And I agree with one of the guys. Somebody there in the chat said gold standard long gone, Nixon. That was the silver standard. We came off the gold standard in 1933. Nixon took us off silver standard in 71. So since then, yes, everything that we think we have called money is not money. It is debt. 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 I want to read you something real interesting. SC 411. Okay, I'm going to Cornell University website. And let's see what this funny, we call it funny money. It's actually a Federal Reserve note. Let's see how a Federal Reserve note is legally defined. We find the Federal Reserve note defined in Title 12 United States Code, Section 411. Under the section titled Issuance of Federal Reserve, Issuance to Federal Reserve Banks, semicolon, Nature of Obligations, semicolon, Redemption. Under which it states, Federal Reserve notes to be issued at the discretion of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System for the purpose of, here's the purpose of your Federal Reserve notes, folks, for the purpose of making advances to Federal Reserve banks through the Federal Reserve agents as hereafter set forth, and for no other purpose are authorized. Period. Let's analyze this for just a moment, shall we?
Please do.
for what purpose are these Federal Reserve notes? They are, and it states here, no other, and for no other purpose are authorized. The only specific purpose for Federal Reserve notes is so that Federal Reserve agents can make advances to the Federal Reserve Bank. That doesn't mean you go to the grocery store and trade these damn things for bread.
Right.
So no other purpose. And trading them for bread is another purpose, is it not?
It is.
It is.
So what are we supposed to have?
So this is a private paper.
Yes.
If you want to know who it belongs to, it's not you.
Yeah.
The owner puts their name on the front of every one of them. At the very top in the middle, it says Federal Reserve.
What's the contract? There's two signatures on it.
Correct. But not yours, not mine.
Between the treasurer and the treasurer of the United States.
Correct.
Just doesn't say that the treasurer is the treasurer of the Federal Reserve System.
Well, let's go further here. I mean, we can beat that first sentence to death by saying that we shouldn't even have these things in our purses, in our possession, because we are not Federal Reserve agents and we are not making advances to the Federal Reserve Bank. We're trying to trade something for bread.
Right.
For goods and services. Okay. It goes on further to say, the said notes shall be obligations of the United States. Let's pause right there. Shall be obligations of the United States. There's an argument in there. Mm-hmm. If you're imposed with a fine of any kind of fine, penalty, obligation, you can ask the question, okay, is this an obligation? Yes, it certainly is. To the tune of $500. Okay. Can I satisfy that obligation with another obligation? In other words, can I write you an IOU and I don't owe you anymore? I don't think you can do that.
That's what they do.
No, you can't.
We can't do that.
Right. No, well, okay, Rob, if I owe you $500, can I write you an IOU and that $500 debt goes away? No, I still owe you $500, right?
Right. IOUs to be collected at a later time. They've just pushed the later time indefinitely into the future.
So, said notes shall be obligations. If you cannot discharge one obligation with another obligation, then in what specie can you discharge the original obligation? There's your argument right there.
Yeah.
In what specie? This was done by a guy who earned the name Coffee Bean Gene. He was going to fight a traffic ticket. And he lost his behind, and he asked the judge, okay, you're going to impose an obligation on me, correct? He said, yes, sir. He said, okay, can't charge obligation with another obligation. Well, certainly not. Well, Your Honor, according to Title 12 United States Code, Section 411, is not the Federal Reserve note an obligation? Yes, it is. Oh, you told me I cannot discharge this obligation that you've imposed on me with another obligation, which is a Federal Reserve note. So the question looming now is, in what specie can I discharge this obligation, since I cannot discharge the obligation with the specie called Federal Reserve note? Well, the judge told Coffee Bean Gene, and this is how he got the name, I don't care if you do it in coffee beans.
Right.
Something very interesting. There's a tacit implication there, folks. Did you catch that? The tacit implication in the judge's comment, I don't care if you do it in coffee beans, means that coffee beans have value and Federal Reserve notes do not. They are an obligation. of the United States. Now, is that your obligation? Are you the United States? I'm not. I'm not the corporation with listed on Dun and Bradstreet called United States. That is not me. So the obligation is not mine either. Let's continue. Right. Said notes shall be obligations of the United States and shall be receivable by all national and member banks of the Federal Reserve banks for all taxes, customs, and other public dues. Well, my bill down there at the grocery store for that loaf of bread, that's private. That's not a public dues.
Right.
Okay. So then, if it's for paying all taxes, customs, and other public dues, that still doesn't mean that we should have these things in our pockets. It's said earlier, and for no other purpose are authorized. So, they shall be redeemed in lawful money. What's lawful money? They shall be redeemed in lawful money on demand at the Treasury Department of the United States in the city of Washington, District of Columbia, or at any Federal Reserve Bank. Redeemed in lawful money. Lawful money. Well, I know constitutional money, according to Article 1, Section 10, that's gold and silver coin. That's constitutional money. What is lawful money?
Good question.
Good question. Lawful money, I suppose, well, couldn't be something that's decreed because it's decreed by a statute if you've got a corporate government. Statute is not law. Statute and law are different. Statute applies to the corporation as where law applies to the flesh and blood.
Does Black's Law Dictionary have anything on lawful money?
I happen to have my Black's Law Dictionary, second pocket edition, right handy here. Let's look under money first. Money. Or getting there. Monopoly, getting close. Money. Okay, I find money defined on page 455, and it is defined as follows. The medium of exchange authorized or adopted by a government as a part of its currency. Uniform Commercial Code, Section 1-201, Subsection 24. 2. Assets that can be easily converted to cash. 3. Capital that is invested or traded as a commodity. 4. Funds. Sums of money. See Medium of Exchange Legal Tender. Okay, let's go see medium of exchange, legal tender. And there should be a differentiation between legal tender and
lawful money.
Lawful money, yeah.
Beth in the chat room brings up a point. She says all this talk by the guest, Steve, which you're not a guest, you're the co-host, but proves my point that without an honest media and education, these kinds of things become forgotten and not taught and understood.
Absolutely. I found medium of exchange on page 444, and in where it is defined as any commodity generally accepted as payment in a transaction and recognized as a standard of value, see legal tender.
Okay.
Like, let's see.
I think we found us a rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Legal. Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of legal stuff in this dictionary. Legalism. Legal holiday. Legal injury. Legal.
So a lot of people get snowed, and some become snowflakes in pink costumes.
Yeah, there we go. It's continued on the next page. Legal tender, page 411. Huh, isn't that interesting? From section 411 to page 411. Legal tender, the money, parentheses, bills and coins, end parentheses, the money, parentheses, bills and coin, end parentheses, approved in a country for the use of payment of debts, the purchase of goods, and other exchanges for value. See tender. We're not going to see tender. So, legal tender. Legal tender, I define as something decreed by a quasi or pseudo government entity, as it has been here in codified in Title 12. Now, tax. We know that this, by definition, this thing called Federal Reserve Note is a privately owned currency of sorts that is to be traded in and amongst the Federal Reserve System by and for its agents. So, if we have this stuff in our pockets, I'm thinking the Federal Reserve agents or the Federal Reserve on by and through its agents are allowing the public to use this private paper, but to use it, they're going to charge us a fee, a use fee. Okay, there's your income tax. That use fee would be your income tax, and you're going to pay another use fee every time one of these things crosses a counter in your state called sales tax, and then there's other taxes on top of that. And when you count up all the taxes, we can now throw in the Obamacare thing. Since Obamacare passed, that put the American people at a national average above 50% taxation. What do you think of them apples?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
So, this tells me that this all the Federal Reserve thing, the use of its currency, the use of its commercial paper, let's not even call it a currency, the use of its commercial paper and the taxes that have now surmounted above 50% of the national earnings, this tells me that this thing has all the earmarks and benchmarks and of a Ponzi scheme. And as we know, every Ponzi scheme eventually implodes in on itself. And
I think that's what we're seeing
a Ponzi scheme. Say it again, I stepped on you.
Yeah, the collapse due to in order for a Ponzi scheme to continue, there has to be a constant influx of new people at the bottom. Well, it's saturated.
Correct.
It's all there, and so now what we see is people getting left out at the bottom.
Well, let's revisit war. Who is the United States and its allies constantly at odds with? Well, when we look out there, we see it's only the only countries that we're at odds with are those who are not on this Rothschild funny money system.
Right.
They're still on a gold or so at least a silver standard.
Well, it's even been admitted that they attacked Gaddafi in Libya because he was creating a gold standard, gold system.
Correct.
And had aims to set all of Africa up on a gold system.
And nobody really went after Saddam Hussein until he told OPEC that he wouldn't that he would no longer accept U.S. currency for
exactly.
oil that was pumped out of his ground.
Right.
So this it looks to me like all war is doing is trying to bring the rest of the world into this Ponzi scheme, because without bringing everybody into it, it's hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
It's hemorrhaging debt. So in order to cover that, you got to bring in new, fresh blood. That's all the other countries that are not already on the in the Ponzi scheme.
Right. Well, that's the fresh blood they're trying to bring in.
Right. Exactly.
And when you run out of fresh blood, then that's when it starts collapsing, is because there's no more people buying the bullshit.
Well, we're seeing that. I mean, you know, look at the last couple of decades. Our national financial system has had several tidal waves and aftershocks and such.
Oh, it's on life support.
You know,
it has been 2008, for a decade. Yeah.
I mean, look back through everything from 1913 forward. And it's just,
yep,
it's history repeating itself over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I've heard it said that, you know, he who doesn't know his history is doomed to repeat it, while those who do know their history are doomed to stand around helplessly and watch others repeat it.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep.
But,
yeah. You can lead them to knowledge, but you can't make them think.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard it said too that you can lead a horse to water, and I'll further that. And yes, you might be able to force it to drink, but in the process, one of you are going to drown.
Right.
It's probably not going to be the horse. You know.
Yep. So, yeah, number one issues is the funny money system. And I agree with Beth, hand in hand with that is the media, and the educational systems.
Yes.
Because as
dare
long
we
as
call
the
it
people...
An, dare we call it an education system anymore?
Well, an indoctrination system is what I call it.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's a drone factory. Creating mindless work.
There was a woman by the name of Charlotte Iserby.
Yeah.
Please don't ask me to spell that. Charlotte Iserby was the top dog. Yeah, she was the top dog in the Education Administration during the Reagan years. And once she resigned from her post, she wrote a book that is available free online. You can read it in the comfort of your own underwear, sipping a cup of coffee. And it's called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Let me repeat that. The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And you find that at thedeliberatedumbingdownofamerica.com or something similar to that. But this was all based on the knowledge that she received in the 4 years that she was in that office. And she saw that the purpose for public education was not to raise the level of intelligence amongst our youth, but to decrease it.
Yes, to make them malleable workers.
Decrease it. Yes. And it's gotten to a point now where, a couple of decades down the road now, we see garbage like Common Core.
right.
being introduced.
Yep.
What the hell? Has anybody seen this Common Core math?
Yeah, it's insane.
Good God, you talk about taking the long way around the barn, baby.
No doubt.
I mean, hell, I'm dyslexic, and I don't understand that mess. You know, the more they push parents, the more incentive they give that parent to homeschool. Right. And I am 100% advocate of homeschooling. Folks, if you got young kids at home, look into the Ron Paul homeschooling course. Ron Paul has a wonderful, magnificent homeschooling course.
Did not know that.
Yes. Yes. And there's a very high likelihood that your child could excel and beat the living pants off of any of these products of the public indoctrination government mind wash system in their schools. SAT scores.
Yeah.
Homeschoolers have consistently scored far, far higher SAT scores than public school educated right. children.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm pretty sure most people in here are familiar with all that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the...
Well, amongst our listening audience, I've been in the chat room long enough to feel that I'm kind of preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the sake of posterity, I suppose, it's good to reach out and get this information because... You put this information out there and somebody might run across it. You don't put it out there and nobody will ever run across it because it's not there.
Yeah. Educate one person. It's worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we may not educate somebody today.
Yep, but it's
but who knows
recorded.
Who knows who's going to run across this tomorrow?
Yep. That's, I guess, the main reason I'm doing all this.
Who knows that somebody there in the chat room knows somebody else that says, hey, you know, they were talking about this the other day on the radio. Here's a link to this and what kind of dialogue that might get started.
Yep, that's the whole point.
Just point this snowball downhill and let it grow.
Exactly.
Something has got to be done.
Right. I kind of wanted to talk about... the whole property taxes and patent thing again.
And I were kind of brushing that a little bit before the show.
Yeah. And the reason it's so insidious to me, because the way it's set up now with this system, you cannot go buy a piece of land and just live on it, grow your own food, produce your own electricity, however you can do it, whatever, it doesn't matter. But you cannot just completely drop off the grid, stay on your property without being forced to go out and gather Federal Reserve notes in order to pay these taxes. So you are literally forced to go out and seek employment or a contract or whatever means you can to collect enough of these Federal Reserve notes to pay this arbitrary tax that somebody decided you owed based on how valuable they think your property is.
Well, Rob, let me interject here. What do you call it if eventually somebody is going to put you at the delivering end of the barrel of a gun if you don't pay this tax?
That's my point. You're forced at the barrel of a gun.
What do you call that? What do you call that?
Oppression?
There's a extortion, exactly.
Extortion, oppression, same, yeah.
It's extortion.
It's extortion when an individual does it. It's oppression when governments do it.
Okay. There's a parallel out there. There was a time in the 20s and 30s where there was a group of people called mafia who would throw bricks through storefront windows and set businesses on fire and go back and say, oh, it looks like you need our protection. This is the Hegelian dialectic. Thesis,
right.
Antithesis, synthesis, problem, reaction, solution. Problem, somebody threw a brick through your front window there and set the curtains on fire. Reaction is, gee, I need protection. And, well, the solution is I happen to offer that protection. I promise that if you pay me in a portion of your revenues, I won't set your place on fire anymore.
Yeah.
Is that not exactly how the damn government operates?
Yeah.
So long as you pay us, we won't kill you. So long as you pay us, we won't throw you in our dungeons. So long as you pay us, we won't set you on fire. I think that's the whole damn problem that David Koresh had with the BATF. He wasn't paying the taxes.
I think he saw something he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, very, very well could have been.
There's a story that didn't get circulated real wide and far, but they had these go-karts at the Branch Davidian compound, they called it. And they used to go riding all the time. And there's an airport real close to there.
Yeah.
And they were riding around one day on their go-karts, and the little trail they go on goes right alongside the airport there, and they seen this plane over there being loaded with a bunch of bales of stuff. And it was Clinton's. It was another cocaine operation. Anyways,
gotcha.
He got video of all this stuff, and it was on a disc, and he had that. And that's why they burned him down, because they wanted to destroy all that evidence.
Ah. Well, that makes sense. You know, they did the same thing to Gary Webb.
Yep.
You know, several others.
Yep. Gordon Call, Randy Weaver.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so when is it going to end? To what end? You know?
That's a good question.
Where do we go from here? I mean, okay, we can all sit here in our armchairs and agree that we need change. Okay, how do we make change? How do we get there?
It's a $64,000 question right there.
In our lifetimes, how do we get there? I'll tell you now, I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't.
Or I'd be doing that. I mean, I
yeah,
have ideas.
Exactly.
But
okay.
All the
well,
ideas
all
I
right.
come up with require...
All right. Let's, well, here, okay. What is this Federal Reserve system? Let's do away with the Federal Reserve part and just keep system. What system? What kind of system? I've heard tell it's a beast system. Okay, that makes sense, because so far we've not been able to negotiate with it. We've not been able to reason with it. I don't know anybody that's been able to beat it in open warfare. If it is a beast system, the only thing that we can do collectively is starve the damn thing to death.
And I advocate for that.
Simply starve it to death. That's all we can do. If we try to beat it in open warfare, we become Gordon Calls. If we try, we wind up being who was it that there was a big standoff with the IRS and Browns, Ed and Elaine Brown.
Ed and Elaine Brown, yes.
You know, you try to reason with it, and there's no way to do it. It's a beast system.
Yep.
So that the only thing we can do is starve it to death.
I believe quit feeding it. Everybody in the chat room is familiar with my phrase, starve the beast. I've said it.
Yeah.
Saying it for years.
Well, okay. Starve it of what? What do we feed it? We feed it our energy. Yeah. Our energy is reflected in these little green pieces of paper called Federal Reserve notes, because we've got to put forth our energy on a daily basis. Some of us between 9 and 5, we go to our daily jobs and we put forth our energy. Some of us 8, some of us less, some of us more hours a day, but we put forth our energy, and our energy is reflected in possessing these little green pieces of paper. So if we're going to starve this thing to death, then we've got to quit feeding it our energy.
Which I've done.
What does that mean? That means we've got to stop paying taxes. That means we've got to get off this funny money system. That means we've got to set up barter systems, to do everything that we can to stop circulating these little green pieces of paper to the best of our ability. Now, how can we do that? We certainly can't go down here to our local grocery store with a skill of some sort. I've done body work for the last 30 plus 35 odd years of my life. I can't very well go down here to HEB, that is a local grocery store here, and say, hey, I've got a basket full of food here. Do you have anything on your car that I can fix? I can't do that there at HEB, but I tell you where I might run a better chance is down there at the farmer's market. And guess what I'll get down there at the farmer's market? I'll get better produce too.
Right.
So if the farmer's got a dent in his pickup truck, hey, farmer, I can fix that. I have a skill that I can fix that. If you'll be willing to trade me some of your produce. Okay, now I can see this starting to happen. It's a start. It's a small start, but it's a start.
Yeah, that
anything's better than nothing.
There's a website called localharvest.org. Link to it here in the chat. It's all about community supported agriculture, farmers markets type deals, where you can actually
go out there on a weekend, get your hands dirty, get some sun, take your shoes off, feet in the soil, and get grounded. It's good for your health, and you're bringing home fresh groceries.
Yeah.
Chances are they've not been sprayed with a bunch of chemicals.
Oh yeah, most of them on there are all organic, very
organic,
health,
yes,
health conscious.
Ma'am.
You know, no poisons, no preservatives, and all the crap that you get in these industrial food sources.
Oh, okay. So then it is possible. It is possible.
And
we the people can collectively form a new type of government. All right. Well, looking back through my past, I can certainly tell you that once something is deemed possible, you're no longer dealing with possibility, but now you're dealing with probability.
Right.
So, what is the likelihood that we the people can collectively get together and form a new type of existence, a new system under which there's no war, under which we don't fight, we barter, we bargain, we trade, we coexist peacefully without the shed of blood and without the need for these oligarchs who have ruled the surface of this planet for how many thousands of years?
Yeah. And people in the chat room are talking about it. Most of them are saying education is the key to, as long as they have control of their minds, it's going to be an uphill battle because if you don't even know there's a problem, how can you take action to fix it?
Well, the first step in solving a problem is realizing there is one.
Right. And so that's where we're at, is because, you know, 90% of the people don't even think there's a problem.
Yeah.
So they may think there's a problem, but they're clueless as to what it actually is. And
well, the listeners might be familiar with a clip from a television series that had one of the Bridges boys in it, where he was on stage with couple of politicians at a college event, and he just went off.
Yeah,
you know, when some
college
said,
girl
what?
Asked the question,
"Yeah, what is it that makes America the greatest country in the world?" He just went off on this girl.
Yeah, and said it's not.
It's not. Yeah, and he said the first, you know, and that's kind of where I got that line.
Yeah.
Is the first step to solving a problem is realizing there is one.
Exactly. And so that in and of itself, and I have to agree with Beth, the media, the education that we're getting, the environment people grow up in programs them into this machine. And
Absolutely.
Until we can overcome that, I'm sure dozens of different solutions that are all perfectly viable, but until we get the people in general to recognize that the system we're living under is an oppressive, very detrimental system.
Well, the television has played such an integral role in social engineering. I believe that if Heinrich Himmler were here today, he would be so envious of the television.
Oh, yes.
That he would retire because, oh my God, you've gotten a propaganda machine in every bedroom, in every living room of every home, except for mine. I don't have a television here. I refuse to have a television. But he's probably dancing in his grave over the television. And we can see, I come from a rather unsavory part of Texas, around the Wichita Falls area, kind of north central Texas. And it seems around that area that everybody watches Mari Povich, Jerry Springer, all these other idiots. And they see how people behave and treat each other on these shows, and they think that, oh, this is how life is. So they've all got to have that Jerry Springer element in their personal lives, or their existence is meaningless. That's why I moved away from that area. I can't stand that type of mindless
drivel
existence.
Yeah.
They're not living. People out there don't live. They just exist.
Yeah.
They feud and they fight and gossip and bicker and just it's waking up in any north central Texas is like waking up on the set of Jerry Springer every damn day.
Yeah.
And it gets old, you know?
And there, you
I
know,
told my kids,
bit...
I love you guys, but you guys can have this crap. Keep it.
That may be prevalent
one of
the days there,
you might wake up and
everywhere.
Think, oh, gee, I need to get this element out of my life, and maybe then I'll move forward. Until then, no, you're stuck in this Jerry Springer rut.
Yeah,
but I can my whole point is I can see how television has played such an integral part in
the
restructuring of a society.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I see TV
Look at young girls and depression. It's no damn wonder we've got so many teenage girls on Prozac, on all these damn antidepressants, when they're just a little bit overweight, according to Glamour magazine,
yeah,
and according to every photograph in Vogue. Oh,
yeah,
I've got to look like that. No, you don't have to look like that, girls. You know, as a matter of fact, that magazine might be useful if you want to start a fire somewhere. If you need to wipe your backside and there's nothing else, that magazine will come in handy. But other than that, it's just a tool for social engineering.
Right. And it's prevalent, I mean, it's pervasive. TV, newspaper, magazines, books,
yeah,
music.
Once you get away from the,
oh my God,
once you get away from the proselytizing of Madison Avenue, you start to enjoy life again, because you don't have to live up to these false expectations anymore. Get away from television. Get away from the commercials. That's not what life is supposed to be.
Yeah, and then you see these
Black
Friday videos.
It's everything. What we see on television is everything that life is not supposed to be.
Yeah, a good course in
it's
how not
no
to
wonder,
do it.
It's no wonder after a public service announcement, the recorded voice tells you, and now get this, folks, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yep.
You're being programmed.
It's true. Absolutely true.
If you haven't already, throw your TV out a four-story window. Well, make sure there's nobody on the sidewalk first, but throw the damn thing out on the curb where it belongs.
I think you should have parties where everybody gets together, takes their TV down to the damn local TV station and throws them in the parking lot.
And beats them to pieces with a hammer.
Yeah, here's your damn TVs. Yeah, run them over.
Let's be ecological, everybody. Take a broom and a dustpan. We don't want to leave the place a nasty mess.
Oh, well, okay.
And hug a tree. Hug a tree. We provided trees for you to hug on the way out of the parking lot. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
My sarcastic side just came out to play.
Oh, let it. We can do that here on the Smoke and Mirror Show. We can,
yeehaw.
We can do what we want. But yeah, you're singing Beth Z's tune here. That's her pet peeve is the media and TV. She says she thinks that nothing else will get fixed unless that gets fixed first. Which,
well,
I think that in conjunction with the funny money system, I have to agree.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes in this thing we call media, we're told the truth. It's put right there in front of us, but it's put in such an artistic way that if we start talking about it at the cooler or at the bus stop and a belief that something might – there's something deeper to this. Let's take, for example, a film called They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
God rest him, he's no longer with us. Yes, it's a science fiction movie, but look at it metaphorically. It's a reflection of what's actually taking place today. We've actually got drones in the sky that watch us now. We've actually got there's a very, very strong metaphor that's not literal, but when Piper finds that pair of glasses and he looks around and he looks at the magazines and the billboards and they all say obey, consume.
Yep.
That's the underlying message.
Yep.
All the glasses did metaphorically was took the candy coating off of the message.
Yep. It's like those spy glasses you used to get in like cereal. They'd have the red and blue lens and have the little picture with all the dots and some kind of mottled looking stuff, but when you put the glasses on, it shows that. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So let's come back to it. How do we get a nation off of a funny
TV
money system without
TV.
Bloodshed?
Well, like Beth says, it's first of all they have to wake up to the fact that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't really believe there's any way to do that unless somebody were to physically take over some kind of broadcast system and take over the TV. That's why I know that all these anonymous groups and hackers and stuff, if there are any real hackers out there that wanted to do something, you'd be seeing
they'd
it on
hack
TV.
In, yeah, they'd
be
hack
hacking
into the main
into
media
the,
a long
into
time
the
ago.
Networks and putting out messages. And
yeah.
It never happens.
I agree.
That's why I don't buy into all this anonymous bullshit. But so, like I said, I don't believe there's a way to do it in mass. There's no way to just wake everybody up all at once. There's no magic.
It's like trying to get a country not to buy gas next Tuesday.
So
how many times has that been tried and failed?
Let's look at how they've done it. They've done it county by county. They have you've heard of ICLEI, right?
Say that again. Heard of what?
ICLEI, ICLEA. It's I guess it's an
Never
NGO.
Heard of it.
It's an organization that goes around to all these counties, and they've got all these. It's all Agenda 21. Type stuff. It's the blueprint for counties, basically. To take
sustainable
on
sustainable development.
Sustainable development ideals and all these things, and so
yeah,
that's how it's been done across the country. Is county by county, this ICLEI group and others like it, along with church groups and things like that. It's been spread around. Junction with all these NGO non-governmental organizations. And so it's been county by county. So I think that's the way
propagandized.
The only way group of people who wanted to do it could get a foothold and start small in one county.
Door to door?
Well, either that or do something like the North Carolina or New Hampshire people are doing. What's that? The No State Project people. All the people moving to New Hampshire so that they can vote in all their people and basically change it all from within.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the chat room.
Well, looking back, that makes sense because looking back through history, there's been no amount of external pressure that's ever changed anything.
Right.
It's got to be pressure from within.
Yeah. Call them movers or something like that. Anyways, this has been going on for several years, and they were waiting for a long time to get, I think it was 20,000 people. I remember right, it was a big campaign to get people all to move to New Hampshire, into one county, I think, specifically, one area, anyway, so that they could all have a group of like-minded people that would do what needed to be done and make these changes.
Make it so number one.
Yeah. I'm hoping somebody in the chat room will know what I'm talking about.
So easy.
Yeah. Let's see.
So what was the eventual outcome there in New Hampshire?
It's still going on.
Okay.
It's an ongoing deal. New Hampshire.
Well, you know, you speak about forming groups to make change. There are some groups out there that are making changes. I live here in San Marcos, Texas, and there was a group formed in Austin. I wish I could remember the name of the group, but it wouldn't be too hard to find it. This group came to San Marcos and basically lobbied with the city council and got fluoride removed from the municipal water system.
Oh yeah. I remember
so,
that. So yeah.
Yeah, we can make change. There, you know, I said something earlier that I may need to back up on a little bit, and that is that no amount of external pressure can make change, but this is an example where I misspoke. That was external pressure that did actually make a positive change, the removal of fluoride from municipal water system.
Right.
It's small, but it's a step in the right direction. I still don't drink the water around here. It's nasty. It's still got chloramine in it and a bunch of minerals that I don't need landing in my kidneys. But, we can form groups and make change. What is it that would make change? Propaganda. Propaganda can be a good thing. Propaganda is usually, let's define propaganda. Propaganda is literature or spoken word that is promulgated with the intent of drawing someone else into your paradigm to accept your train of thought. That would be propaganda.
Okay.
So if they propagandize, which they do, we need to counter propagandize.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. But the problem is organization. And I say this all the time. It's one of my sayings.
Like herding cats.
Yeah. Any attempts to organize will be infiltrated, marginalized, and/or outright eliminated.
Either eliminated or assimilated.
Assimilated
into the board.
Or marginalized.
You now serve our purpose.
Tea Party movement, a perfect example. Tea Party movement started out as a bunch of Ron Paul libertarians.
Yeah.
And it got co-opted by that idiot politician from Alaska. What's her name?
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, that one. Anyways. Perfect example of a grassroots uprising organizational coming together of people that was co-opted and completely changed from its original flavor.
Yeah, the Rot Rally, too. When I say the Rot Rally, anybody in the Austin area is familiar with the Rot Rally. That's an annual Republic of Texas rally that was... Originally, it was a group of separate secessionists who were actually starting to kind of gain some public favor and in the direction for Texas to secede from the Union. Well, the ROT rally, Republic of Texas rally, was infiltrated and has now become a biker event. It's just a drunken fest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a miniature Sturgis.
Yeah.
It's turned into a blowjob contest in the alley between 5th and 6th Street. I'm sorry, but I tell it like it is.
Yeah, no, that's the beauty of it. It's true. Oh, man. I've said it for years. All attempts to organize have been, will be infiltrated.
Infiltrated, yeah.
And yep. So there's the big deal. So how do you organize out in the open so that infiltration would be meaningless?
I think we are.
That's what we need to do.
I think we're doing that right now.
Yeah. And so you it just has to be all out in the open.
Yeah.
And it's the ideas that are going to bring people to.
And if someday some black suit guy steps up to me and says, "Hey, are you Steve Skidmore?" I'll tell him, "Yeah." Well, explain yourself. I'm tired of your shit. That's the only explanation there needs to be. I'm tired of your shit.
Yeah. Sick of it.
And I'm not alone. Apparently the rest of the country's tired of your shit too.
Yeah.
So pack it up and get out of our way.
Which they are, you know, that's why we're having all this crazy shit going on, is because that's how Trump got elected. I don't give a damn who is up there. Trump ain't no better than any of the rest. But he was saying things that got people excited by going against the establishment and being the anti-establishment guy, which is one of the reasons Ron Paul was so popular. You know,
mm-hmm.
But unfortunately for them, Trump had enough money to push his way through.
Yeah.
So he had his own money, so he didn't have to rely on anybody. And that's another thing that scares the shit out of him. But Trump is just another statist like all the rest. He just wants to push his agenda through, which...
I can imagine after the election, Hillary Clinton had a discussion with George Soros, and Soros told Clinton, "Well, he outbid you."
Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
exactly. He
the presidency was a close bid, and he outbid you. You know, your Clinton Foundation was a little too little, a little too late, honey. So
I mean, but it's the same shit. I mean, I've already said it.
Yeah.
In the chat room, you know, nothing much is changing. You know, we're still looking at going to war. He wants to attack Iran now, and he's, you know,
it's the same.
Wants to wipe out, you know.
It's the same puppet with a different mask.
Exactly. You know? And, yeah, there's a few little pet issues that he has with the wall and the immigration and all the stuff. And yeah, that's all whatever. But, you know. Nothing's really different, you know. As a matter of fact, he's a big-time advocate of the police state. So that ain't going to get no better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that actually affects us directly, you know.
Yes, it does.
That's the one thing that should be,
well,
you know.
The night, but, you know, I've already mentioned that I don't watch television because I don't have one, so I didn't watch the election. I didn't waste my time with that garbage. But I went to bed that night firmly convinced that this poor beloved country was going to wake up to another Clinton White House. And when I got to work, I found out that my worst fears were unfounded, that we actually have a Trump White House.
Yeah.
I was not, I wasn't what you might call happy that Trump won, so much that I was relieved that Clinton didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's been said is, we have the president that's not Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that wasn't Clinton won. So that's basically all it amounted to. And because, I mean, Clinton was the obvious dynastic choice. Anyways, they all suck.
One more time, Rob. What do they do?
And they all suck. So.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we don't need them. We don't need them at all. We don't need them to make our roads.
As a matter of fact, we'd be better off without them.
Yeah, we don't need them to protect us from the hordes of heathens or whoever the fuck is coming to kill us.
They create the hordes of heathens that come to kill us and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. They make us way less safe than we could be.
It's the same. Here we go again with repeating history by not knowing it. It's the same Hegelian false flag dialectic over and over and over. And if you don't recognize it by now, there's no point in pulling your head out of the sand.
Right. Yep, yep. I think we're getting mostly agreement.
So are we pissed off yet?
Oh, I've been pissed off for years.
Okay. Here's something I don't like to do. I don't like to harp on the problem. Hell, we all know there's a big problem.
Right.
So let's harp on a solution. We need to come up with some ideas. We need solutions to the problem.
Okay.
And not the solutions that those who created the problem are offering. Those are no solutions. Again, the Hegelian dialectic. If you've got somebody creating a problem and offering you a solution, maybe you're
chances
bargaining with the wrong guy.
Yeah, chances are it's not in your best interest.
Correct. Correct. So, we've got to find our own solution. They created the problem. They're offering a solution that's not in our best interest. So, let's come up with a different solution, one that is to our benefit.
One of the solutions I would like to be working more on is this alternative energy stuff.
Let's get a list of things that we'd like to change. We'd like to change the funny money system. We'd like to open up the markets to alternative energy research and implementation.
Mm-hmm. Honest media.
Yeah, honest media. We'd have to do away with the demographic there.
Yeah.
The controlling demographic.
And that is actually changing. It's
not near fast enough.
Not where it needs to be, but I think they shot themselves in the foot with this whole fake media thing that they came out with. They're trying to discredit all the alternative media, but I think it backfired on them. And I said so at the time.
Discredit themselves, yeah.
Yep. It got them looking at everything, got people looking. And, it gave them a heads up, basically. So, people are like, okay, well, what really is fake now? At least any of them that are looking at something besides what comes on TV.
Well, if the magician reveals how he does his magic tricks, or if the audience figures out how he does his magic tricks, the magic tricks aren't so amusing anymore. And I think that's what's happening here. I think we've got a very, very slow 100th monkey thing going on here, where people are starting to kind of wake up and they're starting to see through the disillusion. But I've got to ask myself, is it too little too late? I don't think it's ever too little. I don't think it's ever too late to wake somebody up, but the question, the thing after that is that what do you do with somebody once you wake them up? I mean,
yeah,
there have been several people that you know, I've mentioned this, that, and a few other things too, and oh, no, that's not the way it is. And then they'll come across something on their own and say, hey, well, you know, wait a minute. Now, I found this on my own, and it seems to say what you're saying over here, and this guy, and well, oh, okay. Well, this is the propaganda that I'm talking about. But now these people come to me as a source of information. What I've done is I've kind of shot myself in the foot. I have failed to teach them how to feed themselves. I've failed in teaching individuals on how to find information on their own. You don't need me to lead you to the water. The water's there. Find it.
Right.
Besides, if I take you to the pond, you're not going to look at anything along the way. I've already shown you where the pond is. There's only one path. Stop and smell the flowers, all of them on the way. You might never get to the pond, but man, you're going to be a lot smarter the closer you get to it. You know, wake yourself up.
Yep. And that's the whole point. I mean, the knowledge is out there. It's been out there for years, since internet became,
yes,
what it is.
And I think the internet kind of backfired on the powers that be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they ever really thought that the internet would get so popular and that we'd be able to share so much information so fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it grew.
Today, in the blink of an eye, I can have a conversation real time with somebody on the other side of the planet.
Yes.
As where 30 years ago, that would have taken 2 weeks to correspond by mail.
As a matter of fact, you are right now. You're talking to people all over the planet.
Absolutely, yes.
Specifically, there's a couple in Denmark that are here right now with us in the chat room talking. So,
hello to Denmark.
Circling and Flash are from Denmark.
Ah, welcome to the show.
Oh, they love us.
I hope we can add value.
They love it.
I hope we can add value to your life. At least plant a seed that grows in your mind that brings about positive change.
Yep. That's what it's all about. And then we have somebody from Australia here, Mary B.
Down under. Sweet.
Sure. I think there's a couple that are others that are. No, there's a couple of Canadians here. Beth is a Canadian. So yeah, we have a
international audience.
Yeah, an international audience. So, and yeah, fantastic. all these things apply to everywhere. It's not just here. It's the same system.
Oh no!
All over the world, other than these few places that don't have their Rothschild Central Bank, which are all in an uproar because they're being poked and prodded from the outside incessantly, mm-hmm. And they call them color revolutions.
We look back through the history of our own country. We've had four successful assassinations of presidents and several attempts on Andrew Jackson. Let's see, the successful assassinations were Garfield, McKinley, Lincoln, Kennedy. There were several attempts on Andrew Jackson, one attempt on Ronald Reagan. And I remember clearly Ronald Reagan coming on the nightly news or State of the Union address, I think it was, and what he said, what this country needs is to get back on an honest money system. 2 weeks later, John Hinckley Jr. stepped out of the shadows, pop, 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 didn't assassinate him, but you never heard another word about honest money come out of the mouth mouth of Ronald Reagan. He took that to his grave. Yes. This tells me, you know, well, there's that one common thread that ties all six of these men together, and they all said no to a central bank in one way or one form or another. They all said no to a central bank. So that tells me saying no to a central bank will get you killed. Okay, what if an entire country says no to a central bank? You going to kill us all?
I wouldn't put it past them trying.
Well, what good?
They already want to kill 6 billion people.
What good would it do to kill us all if you want us all using your paper? Now there's nobody to use your paper. You shot yourself in the foot.
Well, unless your end goal is to kill us all anyway.
Then do it.
It's a lot harder.
Make your move.
It's a lot harder said than done, I think, is what they're finding out.
Yeah. Come on, powers that be. What you got?
Easier said than done. Harder done than said.
Yeah, bring it.
Exactly.
I don't care. The ball's in your court, elite.
Well, that's the thing. See, if they move too fast, create that critical mass, that 100th monkey thing. If they move too fast, you know, they're going to enough people wake up to what's really going on. Then that's going to ruin things for them. I think they're already way behind schedule. I think they were planning on having it done
by 2010. All right. Okay. Well, then there's incentive for us to force their hand.
Yeah.
How would we do that?
Good question.
If they move too fast, they expose themselves and their intents fall apart and crumble in front of their eyes. That gives me incentive to force their hand to expose themselves.
Yeah. I don't know.
So what can I do to force their hand?
That's a good question. They just keep exposing it. I mean,
When I say force their hand, they've got certain things that they want to do. These things are timed events, and like you said, I believe you're correct. I think they're behind schedule, and I think it's the advent of the internet that put them so far behind schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So then that means there needs to be a massive internet campaign.
Because their surveillance works both ways. I mean,
certainly.
With everybody and their dog having a camera nowadays in their pocket, it's become very hard for them to get away and move around in the dark shadows like they have in the past. And I don't think they counted on that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's shed some light on these cockroaches.
I think it's happening. Yeah, I think it's happening. It's just not happening fast enough for my taste.
Well, okay, then
how do we speed it up?
We use too many vague and ambiguous terms. They, them.
Yeah.
Who are they and them? We need to put names and faces. When I point a finger, who am I pointing a finger at? Who am I exposing? I don't even know that. I have a suspicion that there are 13 bloodlines, but yeah. Where do you start?
Well, that research has been done, a lot of it, hell, just look at any Bilderberg meeting. Take that guest list and use that as a starting point.
Starting point, yeah. Yeah.
Any Bilderberg, they have the guest list out there. It's published online.
Well, for it to do any good, it would have to be
G20
an exposure
meetings.
On national media.
Yeah. The G20 meetings, all these big multinational conglomerate meetings that they have. They're all there.
Yeah.
Those are the ones. Those are the oligarchs. The big corporate.
Well, I don't
heads.
Think those are the actual oligarchs. I think those are the footmen of the oligarchs.
Well,
we like to believe that David Rothschild has a lot of power. He really doesn't. He's a lieutenant. He's a footman.
Yeah, yeah. all we can go after are the ones that we know about. I mean, if there are ones behind them, that would require some type of investigation or whatever. But as far as and even if they are foot soldiers, whatever, they're the mechanism that are being used to run this machine.
They're definitely the gears in the machine.
Yeah.
If we throw a wrench in the gears, the machine comes to a halt.
Yeah, until they replace those gears or whatever, and that's the problem we have with this government we have. They'll select a new face every 4 years for the leader of this thing. But the agenda never changes.
I got a problem with that. A free society doesn't have a leader. A free society has a representative.
Yeah, well, I don't
slaves have a leader. Sheep have a leader.
Yeah.
Become your own leader.
The ones that are pulling the strings in at least in public. Are able to be found. I mean, the research has been done. There's many different people that have listed them and named them and categorized them and laid them all out and with big charts and with arrows and everything.
I still think it comes back to the fundamental principle of starve the beast.
Well, exactly. Let your life be a friction against the machine. And which is what I've
Rage
done. I quit paying taxes in 1988. I quit filing. When I was working W-2 jobs, I would claim 6 or 8 dependents and therefore not pay any income tax. I still got stuck with the other smaller things that they stole from your check, but and then I quit that altogether, went to contracting and kept all my money. And then for the last 10 years I've been on general strike for the most part.
General strike.
Yeah, I haven't
I'm not retired, I'm on general strike.
You can call it retired if you want, but I'm not working. I couldn't get a job now if I wanted to. Nobody would hire me. I don't have a Social Security number. Who's going to hire you without that?
Well, I don't have one associated to my name either, but I'm working.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about just your general job that, you know.
Well, let's touch that here in the last 5 minutes of the show. When we say that we don't have a Social Security number associated to our names, it means that we've changed our political status. We're no longer a member of that federal system. There's a lot of upsides, but there are some particular challenges to this as well. Once you step outside that system, you now have to do your own thing. You have no choice. Because everything else, everyone else out there that you're dealing with is still in that system. They got to have a number to hire you because they're in that system. They've promised that government thing that anybody that comes to work for me, I'm going to tell you that they're working for me, and here's their number, and you can steal from them. Here's the means by which
we'll
you're going to extort some of. Yeah, here's the means by which you're going to extort their energy, and if I don't have that information, then I get in trouble with you. So, yeah, you're kind of forced into a position where you've either got to work under the table for cash or you've got to do your own thing, create your own business, your own whatever it is that you're going to use to generate the revenues demanded by your creditors. And when I say creditors, I mean, I don't mean the bank down the street. I mean the utility companies, the landlord, you know,
right.
Whatever, whoever. You know,
in order to cover your obligations, those obligations.
Correct. Yeah. And, yeah, we come back to that again. But, yeah, you can look at it as a downside or you can look at it as an upside. Actually, I would much rather do my own thing and create my own economic base.
Yeah.
Rather than rely on somebody else to provide that to me and wait for every Friday for my paycheck and wait a minute. Now you're going to take some out of that to send to who for what? Oh, I was earning a living here. No, you're not going to do that working for someone else. You've got to do your own thing. And we can get into that too. I mean, we've got 3 minutes here, but I'd like to set the stage for a conversation sometime on survival skills.
Yeah.
I'm rather handy at doing my own thing. I'm one of those kind of guys that you can drop me off and naked in the middle of the woods and I will find clothes or make clothes. I will not go hungry. I'll pick up a rock and make an arrowhead. I'll grab a stick and make a bow. I'll find enough cordage that I can use to gather meat. And from there, my skills and tools grow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about flint napping and making bows and arrows. Some of the most fundamental skills that we generally don't have anymore. We've replaced these skills with how fast can I get my thumb over there to that number to send this text. That is not a survival skill.
Yeah. Siri, where's the nearest Starbucks?
Yeah, that is not a survival skill. Survival skills is throw your cell phone in the lake and survive.
Well, we're down to it, Steve. You want to wrap it up and take us out?
Sure. You've been listening to the Smoke and Mirrors Show with your host, Rob Boyd, and co-host for the day, Steve Skidmore. I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room for tuning in today. If you're not in the chat room, what's the website, Rob?
RealLibertyMedia.com.
And until next week, folks, y'all have a wonderful week, and I hope we've given you enough food for thought. Spread the word. Until next week. Bye-bye.